Stacy.
And I'm Lois.
And this is Whose Girl Are You? Today, we are going to attempt to talk about how do you respond when people treat you badly.
That never happens.
I wish it never happened.
No one would ever treat people badly.
Right.
We are in a broken world full of sinners, and people treat people badly, and it's so sad. And it's so hard when it happens to you or your loved one.
Mm-hmm. So I've been studying in the book of Ephesians lately, and there's quite a bit in there that talks about your heart and how you are to respond. And it has that whole section of put off the new man and put on the new, put off the old man and put on the new man, put like clothe yourself in Christ.
Yes.
And it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah. What does that look like? Well, see, we're going to get into argument here now, Stacy.
Now you don't know.
Well, when do you clothe yourself in Christ?
You answer.
When you're baptized.
Yeah, maybe. But if it's a command of something to do, it's like, so here's what I'm wondering. Like, you might think that, you know, maybe that's the beginning, right? Like,
okay,
buried with him in baptism, raised in new life. You know, I understand that concept.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, is there such a thing as walking out the Christian faith, and then maybe you start not reading your Bible as much. Maybe you're real busy and you haven't really prayed a whole lot. Maybe you even miss church a few weeks and things happen. And all of a sudden you find yourself saying friggin' this and friggin' that. And your speech starts getting a little sloppy and you start getting irritated. And is there a way to like clothe yourself with Christ? Is there a way to change that? Like, what does, I don't know what language you use around that, but.
Right. Well, when Paul says you have the mind of Christ, what does that mean? Right.
Mm-hmm. Cause it seems to me when I am abiding in him, which is the best word I think that you could use for really being in relationship with him, right? Because abiding is so all-encompassing. It means I'm spending time with him on a regular basis. It means I'm trusting him for things, and I'm enjoying spending time with him in a multitude of ways, through the word and through worship and through prayer and through my journaling and whatever. And then it seems like I'm not as irritable and whatever. Is that what is it those practices that are like, because, okay, I don't know about you, but I like don't wear a bunch of clothes to bed. Every day I have to get up and I have to clothe myself.
Right. Exactly.
I have to wash my clothes. I have to then put on clean clothes and I have to clothe myself every day in the physical sense.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'm getting at. Is there also this clothing yourself with Christ in a spiritual sense, but as a daily practice?
Just like putting on the armor of God as a daily practice. Right?
I mean, I guess I don't know that I put on the armor of God as a daily practice or not consciously.
No.
But I mean, maybe it's the same thing. Is that what you're saying? So like,
that's what I'm saying is maybe.
So if I pick up the sword of the truth, that's
word.
Me picking up the word.
Yeah.
And if I hold up my shield of faith, then that is my prayers. Probably, right? That like put out the extinguish the fiery darts or whatever that protect me, because my mindset is like set on him and his glory and his will and all of that, right?
Right.
And the helmet of salvation that like protects my mind, then knowing that like eternally everything's going to work out, even though right now it seems like garbage.
Yeah.
So like, I guess, yeah, maybe that is. Maybe that is that. There's so much like stuff that doesn't apply to us as modern people in this modern world, right? Like, when's the last time you saw a set of armor?
In a museum somewhere, probably.
Right, right.
Or a kid's Halloween costume.
Understanding what they all, actually, one of my kids did have, I had bought them the that as a Halloween costume for Quinn when he was little. It was the armor
so
of
cute.
God. It was a whole set.
Yeah.
It was so adorable.
Yeah.
But I think, I guess it is a good visual, though. I mean, because we all know what it looks like.
Yeah.
What the armor looks like. I think the most interesting thing of the armor that I remember hearing about at one point is, what does the belt stand for?
Truth.
Okay, so gird yourself up with the belt of truth. And it says, like, girding your loins is,
yeah,
like if you've, like, researched that, like, when they were going into battle, they had to, like, take, because they all wore kind of dresses or whatever, sort of things, and yeah, they had to, like, pull them up and kind of tuck them and put them in that belt so they could run in battle.
Right, exactly.
I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how that applies to modern day. I'm just saying it was interesting.
I know.
I can't, like, make a correlation to my life right now on, like, how I need to go about girding my loins, but.
Well, you need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Prepared for the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Mm-hmm.
For the attacks of people who are opposed to Christ. For the world and its temptations. Like, all of those things are opposed to Christ and his people.
Mm.
And so we need those pieces of armor still. They're not obsolete, even though we're not living in, you know, medieval times. Each of those pieces is important.
Right. You know, here's the thing about it is, you know, something happened recently where I was already feeling like I was in a weakened state, right? Because I have just a lot going on. Things that are out of my control, just that I'm been thinking on a lot that are kind of weighing heavy on me. So I felt a little weak, let's say.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden fiery darts started getting shot at me,
yeah,
for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And I wasn't holding up against it very well at all. Like, I understand that whole, you know, when it talks a lot about lions in the Bible too. I don't know if you've noticed, you know, and when you study or know anything about lions at all, that they crouch in the grass on the side and they'll watch the herds go by and they wait for either a young or a injured animal that's, like, kind of a little bit outside of the pack that can't keep up or something, and they go after the weak one. And they take it down, right? Because it's easier to take them down when they're weak or old or young or whatever.
Yeah.
Slower. And I felt like that kind of. I felt like I was already weak. I was already in that place where I was weak. And now I was just being attacked. And I, you know, thankfully I have good godly friends. And I was able to reach out. And one of them said, you know, I feel like Easter was kind of like a moment of Elijah conquering the prophets of Baal.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that story?
Uh-huh.
And in the very next chapter, when you turn to it, it says, and then Jezebel wanted his head because he had killed all the priests or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he went running off and he finds himself in that cave and he has all these emotional turmoil. And he's kind of just like, my life's horrible. Everyone's against me. Like, no one's for me. Like, I just want to die. Like, that's how I felt. And when my friend sent me that scripture and said, I feel like this is what's going on here. And you need to know, just like God spoke in the still small voice, no, there's 6,000 still.
Yeah.
You know, like, get up. Like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this friend was like, just know, like, we all love you. We all think you're doing a great job. We all think, you know, we all have your back, and just don't quit. Don't give up, type of thing.
Right.
And it really meant a lot.
And Christ is holding you fast.
Mm-hmm. And I thought of that too.
You know, it's not dependent on you or me. Because if it's depending on you or me, we're going to be lost. Because we're not strong enough. We're not strong enough against Satan. We're not strong enough against the world. We're not strong enough against the opposition of people. Especially when we're weak and tired and sick and worn and frail and either too young or too old or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ is faithful and he's the one who does it.
Okay. So I love that. And I agree with that. And I do think we don't do it in our own strength, but what do you do practically? I'm talking, because I'm very practical about it. I understand, like, there's spiritual mysteries that we can't always understand, but, like, as much practicality I can get my head wrapped around, I feel like the better off I am. And I know I can't figure it all out, but practically, when you're feeling so spent, like you're feeling too weak, too, like I, you know, I think we've all been there, you know, and yeah. I was to the point where I was like, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I cannot handle this. I'm going to just yeah. quit everything. I'm just going to run away. Like I'm a runner. Now I'm a, now I've gone through menopause. Now I'm a crier. Now I'm a crier and a runner, which is super fun. I'm trying not to run though. So I yeah. think the more I try not to run from my problems, the more I cry. Maybe it's yeah. either or, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I never did cry much before.
Yeah.
So I get to that point, you know, and my husband looked at me and said, well, when I was just like, I can't do this. He said, well, in fact, you are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you will do this and you'll be fine. And I didn't feel like I was going to be fine though.
Yeah.
So like when you're in that situation, I'll tell you what I did, but like when you're in that situation, like what do you practically do?
My practical go-to in any situation like that is to the word. I run to the word and I find the promises. And I find the promises and I find the promises and I hold on to those things with all my might. And sometimes my might is pretty frail. And I say, Lord, you hold me with these prayers. We can hold God to his word. And to, if he says something is true, he says that he sent his son to save the world. Not to condemn the world, to save the world. And I say, Lord, I'm a person in this world. And that means you sent your son for me. I'm holding you to that, Lord. I'm holding you to that. I'm trusting that what you said is true.
Mm.
Even when yeah. my heart condemns me, even when the world condemns me, even when my neighbors condemn me, even when everything is against me. Your word
okay.
is true.
Yep, absolutely. And so I know that I have salvation and I know that I'm loved by him and I know that my self-worth and value doesn't come from other things.
Right.
And it's, that's not my struggle. Here's my struggle. When you start to question, when people say things that make you start to question if maybe you ought to not be in the job you're in. Or maybe you ought not to, maybe you're not qualified, or maybe you're not whatever. Maybe you're not doing the right thing. Maybe you should change the trajectory of your life. Yeah. Maybe the course needs to shift. Maybe you do need to just move. Maybe, you know, and, mm-hmm. And all this doubt creeps in.
Right.
You know, and so this is what I do. And I don't know. I journal.
Yeah.
All of the stuff out, all of my questions that are just rolling around up in there, you know, like, should I quit this job? Should I move? Should I, you know,
yeah, whatever,
whatever, whatever it is, you know,
yeah,
not necessarily to fix the problem, just knowing like I'm in the problem, but like maybe this stuff this person's saying is true. You know, you start to think, you start to doubt yourself. And I journal and my journal always turns into a prayer.
Yes. Oh, totally.
Right?
I love that.
And so then I find myself writing out the prayer and then sometimes I'm not going to, I just stop and I'm just sitting in his presence. Maybe I'm just weeping at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And when I get to that, then I go into worship. Yeah. I just put on worship music. I don't even pick. I just tell Alexa, Alexa, play worship music. And she just does. And I'll worship. And sometimes you can't even worship. You just cry and you just know. It's crazy the songs that come on sometimes in those very moments that just minister to your heart too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see things like, so I'm learning to just sit in it and feel the feelings. And that is hard.
Yes.
And one thing someone told me is don't make any big decisions when you're emotionally like upset.
Right.
When you're in, you just don't do that. So you're going to have to get past this point.
Moving or changing a career is not something to do at
exactly.
that point.
Exactly. So right. It's just like, no, you're not going to make these big things. Right now, all you need to do, well, one of the big things is I remind myself, and this is going back to what you said, of God's promises.
Yeah.
There's a few scriptures I go to, and it's always his mercies are new every morning.
Yep.
Like once so many things are so much brighter once you sleep on it, you wake up the next morning.
Yeah, exactly.
So sometimes you just need to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is actually a really good thing to do.
Yes.
Well, one of my
Enough
friends said,
sleep.
well,
Yes.
Pat actually, I think, told me, even as an adult, sometimes you just need to go for a nap. You need something to drink or you need something to eat.
Yes, just like a
Like,
toddler.
just like a toddler, just like, you know, go to the basics and like
Snack,
make sure you,
water, nap.
yes, do those first and see if you're a little bit better or not, you know.
Yeah.
And I do try to remember that because when you're in turmoil, you'll forget to eat.
I know.
Your sleep will get upset.
And
All
part of
sorts of
that,
things.
yes. And part of that is why it's our community, our church community is so wonderful when there's a tragedy and they bring meals till you're gagging on them. But there's food there for people who are not in a position to make regular meals. They're just been blindsided by something. And our people just have them. And that's really incredible.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing is you get to see that too, is you know, your friend sees you're upset. You don't have to tell them all the details. They don't need to know everything that's going on.
Exactly.
And I can just say, I'm questioning whether I should stay in this job or not. Like something's happened and it's had me really questioning it. And just to have them look you in the eye and say, God created you to do a job like this.
Yeah.
And you know that, right? And it's like, okay, yeah, actually I do know that. But it doesn't feel like that right now.
Yeah.
Right? So
because
you need sometimes your friends to remind you.
Circumstances or whatever are attacking me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the little kid, you know, like your kid is really smart and witty and kind. And, you know, some kid in school's doing, saying whatever, and the kid comes home and, well, you know, this kid was saying they're dumb or they're whatever, and they're not dumb at all. But like you have someone else telling you you're dumb and you're stupid and people laughing at you like some kind of bully.
Yeah.
The kid's going to come home as smart as he is and feel bad about himself and think he's stupid. I mean, it's just how we are.
Yes, exactly.
You know, our words hold value, and even the words of someone that you don't even know very well can hold a lot of weight to them.
Or trust, or that have zero basis in truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what that goes to show? The power of the word. God created the world by his word. We create by our words, not the world, but we create circumstances for people in. We can make them better. We can encourage, we can build up with our words, or we can tear down. We can destroy.
And the
we
Bible
can
even
cut
commands
and
us to
build,
do words that, yeah, to speak
to
to one
build
another,
up.
that we would edify one another.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It commands it. Like that's how we're to be. And it makes so much sense. Like so what benefit is there for someone to tear someone down? I honestly really don't understand it.
Well, you know, the old saying, first of all, hurt people, right?
Yeah.
But then the other thing is tearing someone else down can make you feel momentarily better about your own self because your junk ain't that messy, you know, which is ridiculous, but it happens a lot.
I thankfully have not had it happen to me very much at all, to be honest. So it's like really shocking.
I think it happens a lot more in the younger generations, you know, with kids in school and stuff. I'm thinking middle school and, you know, high school, grade school, whatever, where there's just so much meanness going on, and there's so much competition, and there's so much like, I don't know, it's just rough.
Well, I think there's a lot of bullying too. Like the whole
Yes.
online thing is,
Oh,
it
yes.
is really something, you know, because this person didn't actually say anything to my face. It was all through, you know, typing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone said, well, my line dance instructor, she had just posted something today and said, or yesterday or whatever, and said something about, I posted a new video and somebody, she's like, I don't usually read the comments, but I went and was reading the comments and someone had posted some pretty nasty stuff about how my legs look.
Yeah.
It was like so hurtful.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I just, for her, she was like, it made, she's 60, you know, she's like, yeah, it made me think how horrible it is for kids nowadays when someone can sit behind a screen and be so bold and brash to say something so hurtful to the people that are out there doing the thing. Like, you're, you know, like, it's kind of like, was it Theodore Roosevelt's big speech or whatever that was like, don't worry about the people that are mocking you in the Coliseum or whatever. Like, if they're not in the game, they're not a voice to be listened to.
Right.
Like, get in the game. So, you know, be careful who you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone that was really close to me, that, like, if you said, if you gave me some corrective, like, criticism, I think you would, for one, you'd do it in love.
Yes.
But for two, I would take it to heart, because you know, I might get defensive at first, but then I'd sleep on it and then I'd realize. But you know, you can speak the truth, because some people be like, well, that's just the truth. And it's like, well, no, if the truth isn't spoken in love, then now it's just hurtful. You know, don't also hide behind like trying to say that it's truth and that you're just truthful when you're just being mean.
Right.
Like, that's bull. Right.
Yeah.
I'm fired up. My ears are hot.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Something beautiful happened though. And this is what's great about it. Because I'm learning to run to God instead in my pain, and when things happen, then these beautiful things happen. And yeah. I was explaining to my husband how I felt this anxiety. And I know anxiety is a word that you hear a lot nowadays. Depression and anxiety is running rampant through our younger generation. Mm-hmm. And I have had a panic attack here. I have had one major panic attack, and I've had other anxiety attacks, like where they're different to me. Panic attack is like a total loss of control. An anxiety attack for me is just my heart's beating funny, my chest hurts, my jaw hurts. Like, I have these weird symptoms, and it can last anywhere from a few minutes to an hour for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen super often. So I don't live in anxiety, let's say, right? Like, right. I'm not an anxious person.
Yeah.
And when this stuff started happening, I got anxious, and it wasn't leaving. It was just, my arms felt like, it felt like there was this, it felt like I had this low level of adrenaline just running through my body.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, all the time. And it was just awful.
Yeah.
And so someone that I know that deals with anxiety, I said, is that what it feels like to you?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, at different levels. Well, I was explaining it to my husband about how I was trying to explain all the physical sensation of how awful this felt, and the you know, heavy pit in my stomach and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
And he said, it was really great, because, you know, he was like, wow, this is how I have felt when, you know, this thing has happened that I won't get into because it's his story,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like, but the thing is, he's like, I was never able to explain that to you because I didn't have the words for it.
Yeah.
And so then I was able to be like, oh, okay. So when this happens again to you,
yeah,
because it will, then you can remind me, hey, it's like what you said about, you know, when you had, because mine's going to be like mine's gone already, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we have this, all of a sudden there was this little bit of connection where now I can understand my husband better. Like, which mm-hmm. is a really weird thing, because it was.
But it's a wonderful thing.
But it's a wonderful thing.
What a good side effect of having an, you know, anxiety and this problem.
Yeah. And even to understand when other people have anxiety, I think I can speak to it a little bit better. I might have a little bit more compassion, because I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit callous to it.
Yeah.
There's always been a part of me when I hear people that have like all this anxiety, I'm just like, I kind of want to be like, do something about it. Like, right. I don't know. That sounds so mean.
It sounds pretty callous and cold.
I know.
No, I know. But I get it, because
I think it was
because
I didn't understand.
No,
exactly. And for the most part, I think I never have said that to somebody.
No.
Now I've just said it to whoever's listening. But
yeah.
I don't feel like that anymore, so now I can admit it.
Yeah.
But that's what would cross my mind.
Yeah. I like the word you used, abiding. I think, you know, putting Christ on, I think you're right, is abiding in him. And to me, that's more of a him thing. And this is going to go back to, he will hold me fast. It's more of a him thing than a me thing.
Yeah, it's more like running to the Father and climbing up in his lap and letting him take care of the problems.
Yes, because, and even if you can't run, you say, help, and he picks you up.
Right.
You know, because you can't run to him because your leg is broken or whatever, you know. But I think that abiding is such a beautiful word, where it's complete and total dependence on Christ, on the Father, on God's provision, on God's care. We just had, last Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday. And the songs and the hymns and the readings and everything were so beautiful, where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, you know? And we learned, you know, maybe in Sunday school, we learned the 23rd Psalm, and we learned the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you know, like all these things. But sheep are less than independent creatures. Sheep will die if they're left alone. They'll get themselves into all sorts of trouble, and they'll starve to death, and they'll, you know, drink water that's not good for them, and they'll not find good water, and they'll, you know, they'll be trying to eat thistles instead of good grass in a pasture. They'll be stuck in the thick thistle bush because their fur is so thick and matted that it's not been cared for. And I love that the shepherd is so, tends his sheep so well. He notices if one is missing, he cares for them, carries them in his arms, binds up their wounds, heals them. Everything is dependent on him, on the shepherd. The sheep's just like, bah, walk around, bah, okay, here's some good grass, I'll eat it, you know? Like, they don't have any sufficiency of themselves. So, I don't know, I feel like that abiding word is so good.
I was just thinking about, you know, there's, in the Bible, it talks a lot about sheep too. But, you know, like with all the conspiracy theories and stuff like that, they're like, don't be a sheep. And I would want to be like, too bad I am. Like, I'm not a sheep in some senses. Like, I don't just necessarily follow the crowd.
Right.
Unless that crowd is also a bunch of sheep that are following Christ.
Yeah.
You know, then I'll follow that crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay in that fold. You know, it's interesting you bring up the 23rd Psalm, though, because at the last women's conference we had, one of the girls that was speaking at it spoke on the 23rd Psalm, and she said that part where it says, I shall not want.
Yeah.
She said it could be more clearly written, I lack nothing.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard a translation that kind of says that, I shall not be in want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a great one, the 23rd Psalm.
Yes, totally.
I bet you haven't memorized, do you?
I used to in the old days.
Just blame it on the brain tumor.
I know, right? Exactly. What can I get away with today? Oh, boy.
It's a good one, though. It's worth memorizing for sure.
Yes, totally. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, scripture is worth memorizing.
Yes, any scripture, totally.
Mm-hmm. If we put all the whole Bible to a song, I bet I could remember the whole thing.
You think?
Well, it's just everything that's to a song. It's amazing the songs I remember. Like songs, a song will come on and I'll start singing it in the car or whatever. And my husband will be like, how in the world do you know? Like, I've never heard this song in my life. It's probably from like the 50s. And yeah. I was like, because of my parents growing up. And he's like, you remember songs you heard when you were in the car when you were a kid? I'm like, I think so. Where else would I know them from?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the thing that's interesting about abiding in Christ too is, as we abide in him, people see him in us, right? Like, Christ is glorified, magnified, shown in your life.
For sure.
When you abide in him.
Well, also, what else happens when you abide in him is you end up growing fruit.
Right.
Right? Like, because he grows the, you can't grow the fruit. You can't try hard enough.
No.
You can't be nice enough. You can't
no.
like serve enough
nope.
to produce fruit. Just can't.
Right.
That fruit is just produced, and it's by abiding in him that it's produced.
Yes.
And when I was reading about the fruit of the spirit, even, and it's so funny, I used to think they were fruits of the spirit, and like you could have one and not the other or something. But really, anyone that has one has them all. They might have like some in like might be more evident in the person, but all of them are there.
Yes.
If they have some, it's all like they,
Yeah.
that's how it works.
Yeah. The spirit comes with his fruit.
Yeah.
Or grows his fruit.
Yeah. I mean, we do have to trust and follow and all of that to like let that continue to grow and mature. For sure. Especially like the self-control and the you know.
Yeah. No, it is patience.
long suffering, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. But the fruit, what was I saying though? Like I was thinking about that and now I lost my train of thought. I don't even have a brain tumor that I know of.
That's good
What's
to know.
my excuse? Well, not that I know of. I don't know.
We hope you don't have a brain tumor.
We
That's
hope.
all.
We hope. Oh.
I don't know if it was it that you can't have one or you don't have one, you have them all.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that the person that was attacking me though? I had been reading about the fruit of the spirit and then I came across it and I sat there and I thought to myself, this person, when I read through that whole list, from what I can see, this person has none of this.
Yeah.
And then I had such a desire to pray for this person
Yeah. Oh,
that
that's
they would
beautiful.
really come to know him.
Yeah.
You know, they might know about him, but I'm not sure that they know him. Because if you know him, you abide in him. And you have the fruit of the spirit. And I'm not the judge, but I'm just
No.
saying that was my conviction. And so you pray for them.
Yes.
And I pray that their heart could be softened and that they could. I hold nothing against them.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Christ when people hurled insults at him, what did he do?
He did not return.
Nope.
He didn't return them.
Nope.
And you know, that's the beautiful thing is when you are abiding in Christ and his fruit is growing in you and someone hurls insults or questions your abilities or your position or your whatever, it's much easier to be gracious, be kind, be understanding when you are abiding in Christ. If you're not abiding in Christ, it's going to be a cat fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone hurls insults, so you're going to be hurling them right back.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're abiding in Christ, it's easier to say, I'll take the low seat. It's fine. And you know what else? When you pray for someone, you are convicted to pray for this person. And when you pray for someone, it's very hard to be angry with them.
Yeah. I think that's why he
It
tells us to
melts
pray
the
for
angle.
people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing that I learned through it is God is my defender.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it and I've heard it and I've said it, but I didn't like, you know, when like something that you know, you actually now really believe. Like it's kind of like the whole thought of him being my defender and me not having to defend myself to anybody.
Right.
That like you called me to do this, Lord. Like
Yeah.
I really feel like, I mean, I could do a job similar to this somewhere else. I'm not saying that,
Right.
like, you know, I'm just saying like God created me in a certain way. And when I did get this job, I felt like God had been just preparing me for this.
Right.
And that I just really flourish in that space and just really enjoy it and get to use my natural giftings.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to defend myself. And I was like, God is my defender. And you know, and in the end, no matter what, like God knows.
Yeah.
And he's the only one we have to answer to. And he's the only like real judge. He's the one who doles out justice.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
what do I have to fear?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's beautiful.
So I stood on that. I was like,
You know, it's so weird because it feels like we have to like learn that lesson about every 5 or 10 years, you know? Like something comes up and we have to just do it again. It's
I
like,
know.
okay, Lord, I know you're my defender. I learned this before, but somehow I'm learning it again.
Yeah. It's like we're just dumb Israelites just wandering around in the desert, just around the mountain, over and just around and around and around.
Yeah. Our brains are sieves.
You know, I think part of it for me is I think it's just when things are going good, I think you're just kind of on autopilot. I mean, you might be like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank God, you know, life's good, this and that. And but you start to get a little proud of yourself about how good things are going, you know, like you start getting
Totally.
like, I think I figured it out. I think I got it. I think I got my act together finally. And then something else has to happen. You're like, oh, yeah, no, like your grace is sufficient. Like I am nothing without you.
Yeah.
We can't take another step or another breath, really. Yep. Like, I have to keep remembering I'm that dependent on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the fact of the matter is my heart just beat that last beat because he willed it.
Yes. And when he doesn't will it anymore, it doesn't matter what kind of heart specialist you have or what kind of, you know, machine you have, it's over. And that's the comfort in, we've mentioned the brain tumor a couple of times. That's the comfort in having a brain tumor is it doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter.
God's in control.
God is in control. And if it is a brain tumor that he uses to end my life, that's his choice. If it's not, if it's a car accident, that's his choice. If it's because I'm 97 and my heart finally stops beating because it's, you know,
old.
Built up old. Yeah. I mean, that's his choice as well, right?
Oh my goodness. One of my friends, her dad is 100 years old, and he told her the other day, you know what? I think I have a couple good years left in me.
Oh my word.
And
that's
was like,
awesome.
What a peach. I don't know him, but I'm like, I can just picture it.
I want to know him.
I kind of do want to know him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, abide in Christ and run to him when things go wrong.
Yes.
And it is good to have a good friend or two too that can remind you that,
yes,
like,
totally.
But the body works together like that, you know?
The body of Christ is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It can be.
It can be. It can be the most beautiful and it can be the most hurtful. Because when it is, I mean, it's like you're, you know, if a stranger hurls insults at you, you're like, I don't care about you. But if your sister or your parent or your spouse, someone who loves you or is supposed your best friend, oh boy, that hurts. That hurts bad, you know? So yeah, the body of Christ can be the most beautiful and supportive and building up, for edifying, for support, encouragement, and can be hurtful.
Someone reminded me too that sometimes, you know, the loudest voices, it's just a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, like 99% are just like got your back and love you and support you and encourage you and whatever. And that 1% that's so loud can have you thinking that everybody thinks this because they're so loud. We've seen that in politics.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, and you think, you know, they're out there interviewing kids. Have you ever seen these interviews and they ask them, like, what percentage of the U.S. population do you think is transgender? And they answer.
Yeah. Like,
and they're like,
number.
Oh, probably 25% or something. And they're like, it's like 0.001 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's like, really? Well, why is it so loud?
Yeah. Because there's a purpose behind it.
Right. And there's a lot of things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So
totally.
Just because something's loud and you're hearing a lot about it doesn't make it true.
Yep. Exactly.
So
agreed. Abide in Christ.
I think I better just go get off here and go read my Bible or something. Thanks for helping me talk through that.
Yes, anytime. I appreciate our conversations, and you always make me think, Stacey, and I love that.
I always make me think. I never know what's going to come out of my mouth till it comes out.
I know, right?
That's why I say it, and then you have to help me figure out what's going on in my head. So we're a great friendship here.
Right, exactly.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.